Welcome to the Upper Room Discourse. I'm Felipe Marin.
And I'm Dakota Childress. Stay tuned for our discussions on scripture, doctrine, music, and anything else.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new season of the Upper Room Discourse.
Yeah, season two. We're back.
Yeah. Lots of things have changed, if you couldn't tell by the intro there.
The intro, the setup, the room.
Yeah, those of you on YouTube,
you'll be able to see it.
Yeah, brand new room, new setup. We're actually in an upper room now.
Yeah, we have, that's literally what we call it at our church, the upper room. And so, yeah, we're going to kind of be getting into why we call it the upper room.
Today,
And over the next, you know, few weeks, actually, we're going to be looking at the book of Acts over the next 4 weeks or so. Mm-hmm. And then you've also got a song for us today.
Yeah. And that's part of the changes. So obviously before we were doing like a single book at a time, we're kind of slowing things down, I guess, you know, spending more time going through the scripture.
Yeah.
You know? So like we're going to do Acts in 4 weeks. And well, I don't want to spoil the surprise, but we have another extended book that we'll spend a lot of weeks in as well coming up after Acts.
Quite a few weeks.
Yeah.
But yeah, just a quick overview of, we're going to go through like and discuss the first nine chapters of Acts this week.
First nine chapters today.
But it's kind of interesting. You know, we know who wrote it. It was Luke. So this is just part two to the Gospel of Luke.
Yeah, which we've discussed before.
Yeah, and you can go and check that episode out, Christmas special. But you know, not too much going on. We'll get into the verse where it specifically mentions the upper room.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got the apostles there, and they're just kind of chilling in Jerusalem right now, and they've been given the Great Commission.
Yes.
Jesus has ascended, and then you get some pretty powerful sermons, and then, you know, you get the first martyr, Stephen, and then you get the amazing Apostle Paul right in chapter 9. Well, he's not Paul yet, but we'll get there eventually.
Yeah. Technically, it's the same name, Saul and Paul, technically.
And yeah, that is correct. They mean the same thing. I think rock or something like that, pebble.
Yeah, yeah. One of them is Greek. The other one is, I forget.
Is it Hebrew?
Maybe. It might not be.
I can't remember.
But technically, I mean, that's a whole discussion. I guess we can do that when we actually get to Paul in the coming weeks, because we will. You know, we'll have episodes surrounded about specifically Paul. You know, we're not quite there yet. I think that's about it with new changes and stuff. The other thing is, obviously, we're going to try and do a little bit more discussion, you know, less like review, more like showcase and talking about, especially on the song side. We're going to change things up a little bit.
Right, because we want to start discussing more of like the doctrine, the scripture, you know, kind of the events that happen at a slower pace, obviously, and then just kind of tie it in more with the songs that we pick each week.
Yeah. So we do have a theme. It is a series. So it's a 4 week series through the book of Acts. So I guess I don't know if anybody knows Greek, but Greek is going to be on the episode title.
It will, yes.
But the word, is it euangelion? Euangelion?
Yeah. I've always been confused about how to pronounce that word.
Me too.
Because like it's two G's in the middle, and I've heard it pronounced euangelion and euangelion. So I really couldn't tell you.
I think either way is probably fine.
Yeah, that's probably fine.
But the word literally means like good news.
Yes, you know? It does.
It's where we get evangelism. Mm-hmm. It's where we get the word gospel from.
It is.
And that's what I've titled our series, is that, because that's what this is all about. That's what the book of Acts is about, you know. And what I wrote in our subtitle here is the Acts of the Apostles, the spreading of the gospel. That's what happens.
Yeah, and I think you get a lot of that. Like if you look at King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
And some like older Bible translations like that, it usually does say like the Acts of the Apostles. Like I'm reading out of NASB, and it just says Acts, but we know it's the Acts of the Apostles.
Yeah, yeah.
By the Holy Spirit, which
is probably the most prominent figure in the entire book of Acts, I would argue.
Yes, and you know, it segues great into the song we're about to go over.
Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, it's a song that I have a love-hate relationship with this song. Because I love this song a lot, but at the same time, I hate this song.
Why do you hate this song?
We'll get to it when we start discussing it. But
no spoilers, huh?
Yeah, no spoilers. I just don't like the way the song has been used. We'll just leave it at that, which we'll get to that discussion later. But I think with that, I think we're about ready to jump in.
Yeah.
Are we? Is that all the housekeeping? Do we have anything else?
No, not that I know of.
All right. I was going to say earlier about the Holy Spirit being a prominent figure in the book of Acts. Luke is like that because the Holy Spirit is a prominent figure in the book of Luke as well, especially at the beginning. It's kind of interesting how they mirror each other like that.
Yeah.
You know, at the beginning, that's what you see the like most prominent is that Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and it makes sense because, you know, you don't want to kind of split that theme up because, like I said, this is a part two.
Yeah.
Like Luke, the Gospel of Luke is part one, basically, and this is Acts, but it's like Luke part two.
We had a sequel.
Yeah, he had a sequel. He's the only one.
Yeah. Interesting. And it's funny that they don't call it like Luke 1, Luke 2.
That'd be awesome, though.
Yeah, because they have that in like other, like we have
right.
1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel.
Yeah.
Why can't we have 1 Luke, 2 Luke?
That's what we should do.
Start a petition. Instead of the Acts of the Apostles, it's Luke 2.
Luke 2, yeah.
That's funny. I guess with that, we can just jump in. So, the song Holy Spirit, what are your initial thoughts about this song?
Holy Spirit. I think there was a time, you know, at least in our youth group and on the radio where this song was overplayed heavily.
2015.
Yeah. But also think that about like stuff with Hillsong and Bethel and all them. But I think the most familiar version is Francesca Battistelli, right? Is that her name?
That is correct.
I think that's the one everybody knows, but the original is by who?
Yeah, so it was originally written by Brian and Katie Torwalt. And the song was actually originally released in August of 2011.
Yeah, so they didn't make it popular.
No. What I wrote down is it was made popular by Francesca Battistelli, and she actually released it in April of 2014 on one of her albums. And in 2016, she actually won a Grammy for that song.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I would have thought this song was actually a little bit older. But that's kind of like my initial thoughts. Holy Spirit. You know, I think as far as lyrics go, I think it's a pretty solid song. I really can't say much. There's probably some negative stuff. I was listening to it on the way here.
There is a couple,
There's some things that like run through my mind and we'll get to them. Like as far as like the lyrics.
Yeah.
But
It is a long song.
Yeah, 6 minutes.
The order of lyrics are actually very simple. It's a verse, a chorus, and a bridge. That's it. So you do the verse of the chorus, then you repeat the verse and the chorus. Then there's a long bridge, and then you do a chorus at the end. It's like a big breakdown, but it is almost 6 minutes long. It's 5:48, the original version.
Yeah, I was barely able to listen to it twice. Like, my drive here is, like, 12 minutes.
Yeah.
I think I got it through maybe twice.
Yeah. So with that, before we, I guess, really go deep into a discussion, I wanted to play a clip from the song for everybody.
Go for it.
You know, this is another change that we're doing is we're going to, you know, share a little bit of the music. Obviously, there is a playlist on Spotify, which has all of the songs that we've done. So this song is part of that playlist. I've already added it.
Yeah, so go check out that playlist.
Yeah, you can listen to the whole song there. But let's go ahead and hit play. So I really love the opening here because of that soft guitar that you can kind of hear.
Is that playing through the mic?
Yes, it is. It's coming through. Wait, is it?
Hey, unmute it over there.
It starts out really quiet.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Sorry, some technical difficulties. Want to make sure we're all good. All right, we'll be quiet now so you guys can hear the song. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone.
presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
So that's about like, I think that's a good introduction into the song.
It is. Honestly, I wish we would have played a little bit more, but
it's a good song.
It is.
Yeah, like musical, like music wise, it's really nice.
I think it's very biblical with mm-hmm. at least the, I mean, you get the first,
I agree,
verse and then the chorus, but you definitely see mm-hmm. What he's talking about. You can hear my pages turning, but there's nothing worth more. It kind of makes me think of Peter, who's one of the, in the early chapters of Acts, mm-hmm. the big players.
Yeah.
You get in chapter 2, maybe chapter 3, this really great sermon from him. And one of the things about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit is, yeah. you know, how do you go from denying Christ, right? Because mm-hmm. that's what we remember most about Peter.
That's true.
Is yeah. the one time when Christ needed him most, or I say needed, but he, you know, God doesn't need anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But that one time in like the harshest moment for Christ,
yeah,
Peter denies him 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on in the Gospels, you see that they go back to fishing, not just Peter. And so, you know, the question is, you know, how do you go from denying Christ and then go back to your old job
mm-hmm.
to now you're preaching sermons
yeah.
like he's preaching in chapters 2 and 3 and 4?
Mm-hmm. It's just the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And that's where I think that there's nothing worth more comes in because mm-hmm. he's realized it at that point.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I mean, like, I think about Stephen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is, I mean, nothing compares to your presence.
Yep.
You know, I think like Stephen's looking up and he's like, I see Jesus at the right hand.
Yep.
You know, while they're there, you know, stoning him, you know, they're going to kill him.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the cost.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's worth your own life,
yeah,
then, you know, it's worth pursuing. And I think for any Christian, mm-hmm. they would say that, yeah, Christ is worth my life.
Yeah.
And not just in a sense, like, I'm not saying you got to go out here and be like Stephen
mm-hmm.
and be martyred or be like Peter and John who were arrested or even Paul later on mm-hmm. when he's arrested. I'm not saying, like, you got to go and get yourself into those situations to be a true Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Right? No. It being the Holy Spirit, God being worth more
mm-hmm.
means you're giving up yourself. Means yes. you're giving up, you know, what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And being sacrificial.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the call that Jesus made. You know, he says you have to die to self. You know, pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow him. That's what he says.
Yeah, and we also get that with the rich young fool,
mm-hmm.
where he wasn't willing to do that. And look at him. He goes away basically crying.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true. So what do you think is the main idea or the purpose of this song?
Main idea or purpose? I almost want to say it's like conjuring the Holy Spirit, like calling him to come down.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're welcome here, flood this place, fill the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
He already does.
I know. That's like the tension with this song, I feel like, is that right there. I wrote down that a good main idea for this song, nothing compares to being in the presence of God, and we should seek after it. I feel like that's more the message that you get out from this song after listening to it. And it's a good message. Yeah. It's a true message.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said, we're just going to keep relating this back to Acts. I think that's something else they realized. Like, they were in the presence of God in the form of man, Jesus Christ, for, like, 3 years. And then, you know, obviously he ascends.
Yeah.
And now the Spirit is indwelt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so now at this point, they're not only, like, in the presence of God, but God is within them.
Yeah.
And so they don't have to worry, not that they had to worry about, you know, God being with them in the first place and wherever they went, but, you know, now they have the power inside of them to, you know, go wherever they want to go and know that whatever they do, if it's, you know, the will of God, then it's going to work out.
You know, and I like that because that makes me think of one of those, what's it called? The, I don't think the word is unexpected. But the, I guess like an unexpected coincidence, because John writes about, you know, Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to be in you.
Right.
And he's going to dwell in you, basically, is what Jesus is saying, you know, but you don't see that in John, you know, John never says, you know, John never shows that happening, but in Luke, you see it, you know, and Luke's not like saying like the Holy Spirit's going to like, he's not like the Holy Spirit's indwelling you. You see the effects of it. Yeah. You'll be like, yeah, these people are filled with the Spirit. You know, just, I guess, I don't know. I think it's a cool connection. If read through the book of John.
Yeah, John is good.
Yeah. I label this as a song of praise, partially. I think there's elements of testimony in here. I think there's some praise in here. But I wrote down, ultimately, I think this song is a prayer. And I think this song should be treated as a prayer.
Mm.
You know, we're calling on the Holy Spirit. We're asking that we would be aware of God's presence. You know, and I think that's the perspective we should have going into this song, is that we're praying this. This is our prayer, our supplication.
Right. Yeah, I was just about to look through and see if there was, like I'm looking at Peter's second sermon right now, but I mean, obviously there's, you know, probably some connection to that in the second sermon, but I know in the first one, look, we're in Acts chapter 2 and verse 25 is literally saw it. For David says of him, I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he's at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. And that's Peter repeating those words.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, just knowing that God is there with you is enough to give you strength. You know, and I feel like with this song, on one hand, I do kind of find it, you know, we shouldn't be asking the Spirit to fill us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we should always be filled, as Ephesians 5 says, being filled constantly with the Holy Spirit. But sometimes I feel like, you know, we aren't. And so we need that, you know, prayer of, I kind of need to fill you there.
Yeah.
Even though that's not the right thing to pray, I wouldn't say necessarily. Mm-hmm. And then also I feel like, you know, at times if we're having to call on the Holy Spirit, then I think there's a disconnect between us and the Spirit.
Yes.
And I think that comes through, you know, sometimes a neglect of, you know, just reading God's word and listening to God, whether it's through his word or whether it's in prayer, you know. And I also feel like, you know, the Holy Spirit in general is just the neglected of the Godhead.
I agree 100%.
And so, I mean,
that I pulled up Ephesians. So it's Ephesians 5:18, which says to not be filled with wine, which is debauchery.
Yeah.
And the second part, it says, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, and I'm just thinking about, you know, that's a command given to us. You know, we should be filled with the Spirit. Not that we don't have the Spirit. We have the Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, Spirit dwells in us. But we should be filled with it. You know, there's a difference there.
You right. know,
that's more of that having that unity or being in tune almost with the Spirit.
Yeah, and it goes back to, you know, not neglecting the Spirit, not neglecting your own duties. Because I think and we just got finished going through Ephesians here on Sunday mornings at Oakview. And there's a lot of times where Paul's wording is that you are expected to do this action actively.
Yes.
And that's how it's supposed to be read in the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
And so the responsibility is on your shoulders. Like if we're talking about the armor of God, the responsibility is on your shoulders to put the armor of God on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not your responsibility to be filled with the Holy Spirit because you're already filled with the Holy Spirit 100%.
Yes.
But it is your responsibility to not neglect the Holy Spirit and to not grieve the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think that's kind of where that, you know, afterthought mm-hmm. of the Holy Spirit comes from, and why sometimes we're doing like what this song says,
yeah,
where we're saying, all right, Spirit, come fill me. I need to feel your presence now, you know, fill this whole place.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes he is, and you're just not listening.
That is true. I agree with that. Well, let's talk about what I like, and then we'll talk about what I hate. Mm-hmm. What I like is how this is a petition to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, and maybe we don't teach it, but I feel like a lot of times we pray, you know, we don't pray of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Or we don't ask to the Holy Spirit. Right. You know, like, yes, I understand. We pray to God the Father.
Right.
That's who we make our supplication to. But you have to understand that the Holy Spirit is with us.
Right.
You know, the Holy Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit is here to help us,
mm-hmm.
is on our side. You know, we should start treating the Holy Spirit like a friend.
Right.
You know, and start, you know, talk to the Holy Spirit the same way you talk to God the Father, because they're the same.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, you're not like making like your full on blown petition straight to the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not how it works.
Right.
But you should pray to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. I think that's interesting because mm-hmm. what I would say is, you know, if you're praying to the Holy Spirit, I think a lot of times my prayer is, you know, mm-hmm. just pray the words through me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And because it's not, because what ends up happening
yeah.
is if you pray without the guidance of the Holy, if you do anything without the guidance of mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit, right, it's not going to be. It's not going to be, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess right.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be selfish.
Yes, exactly. You know, and it's not like you're going to the Holy Spirit and asking like requests.
Yeah.
You know, it's more of the submission.
Mm-hmm.
That's more what your prayer is like. Let me submit to the Holy Spirit. You know, like Holy Spirit, lead me. You know, prayer is like on that side.
Yeah, and I think we definitely see that, you know, going back to chapter 2 of mm-hmm. Acts. It's the day of Pentecost. And they're just kind of sitting there in the upper room,
yeah.
and the Holy Spirit descends on them. They don't fight off the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
but immediately they're already going and using the gift of, you know, tongues.
Yeah,
and that's when we get the sermon from
Peter.
From Peter,
yeah.
Is and they're just like, everybody there is kind of like, what's going on here? Why are these dudes?
I know,
like speaking my language.
Let me actually, because I think it's an interesting thing. I don't know where I drew this connection, but you know, in Ephesians 5:18 it says, "Don't be filled with wine, but with yeah. the Spirit." You know, the people thought that they were on wine.
Oh yeah.
Like if you read out of chapter 2, yeah. there, you know, verses 12 and 13, it says, "All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' Others mocking said, 'They are filled with new wine.'"
Mm-hmm.
And then what is Peter's like? Whoa, he's like, look, in verse 15,
mm-hmm.
"For these people are not drunk as you suppose," and he's like, "No, they're filled with the Holy Spirit." You know, he quotes out of Joel right here. You know, he talks about how God's going to pour out his Spirit. I'm like, is this where Paul got his from Ephesians 5:18, I guess?
Yeah.
Is that his connection there? You're like, no, it's not wine. They're not drunk. No, they're filled with the Spirit. There's a difference. You're like, oh, you know what? That's a cool connection I just saw.
Yeah, and that's exactly what verse 4 says. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just a couple of them,
yeah.
but all of them.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminds me, our college group has been going through Micah. And so we just did Micah chapter 3. And about halfway, I think it's around verse 8,
mm-hmm.
but he's like, "I am filled with the power of the Spirit."
Yes.
Of God.
Yes. In chapter 3. That's a great, yeah. I underlined that. I highlighted that verse.
And so, you know, you don't only get references to the Spirit of God in the New Testament,
uh-huh.
but you also get them in the Old Testament.
Yeah. I think a beautiful example of that is the story of Samson.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see a lot with Samson about yes. the Spirit being in, like Samson was filled with the Spirit
right.
and then he wasn't.
Right.
And then he was again, you know, so that's a really cool image, which obviously that was the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the Spirit doesn't leave us.
Right.
You know, but that's a good place to look at for a great story about someone that was filled with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So what I hate about this song.
Go for it.
I hate how the song is used, or in my experience, how it has been used in our church when I see it
yes.
and when I hear it. Because it feels like this is often used as like a hyper-spiritual song, fully based in emotion.
Yeah.
And it feels like, did I put it here? I did. You know, I wrote down that this song quickly turns into like a seance.
Oh,
where it's like you're trying yeah. to like summon the Holy Spirit. Because it's very repetitive. It's a repetitive song. Some of the elements of it can be chant-like
yeah.
if you make it that way, especially that bridge. Like, you can really make that bridge into like a chant almost.
That and the chorus.
Yeah. You know, and I feel like if you present it that way, now there's a danger,
right?
Because you miss like the point of the song.
Right.
You know, we're not, this isn't a seance. We're not trying to like summon the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's here.
Yeah. He's already here.
You know, so it's not like when like the, like in the chorus, when it says you are welcome here, it's not like we're opening the door saying, Spirit, come, you're welcome here. That's not what that line means. Which I guess when we get to the discussion of the lyrics, I want to talk about some of those lines, what they actually, what I think they actually mean.
Yeah. And it kind of fits into the focus I came up with for the first nine chapters of Acts,
yeah,
which is, you know, a focus on the coming of the Holy Spirit and the beginning of the church age. Without that coming of the Holy Spirit, and even then they didn't have to ask. It was automatically sent.
Yeah, that's true.
After Christ ascended. And so they didn't have to ask for anything, right? Just like we don't have to ask for the Holy Spirit. And then that Spirit empowered them to go out and do what they did.
Yes.
And so treating it like it's some kind of, you know, like you said, seance is the wrong way to treat it. Like, we should be like, you know, Spirit, you're welcome in my heart. You're welcome in my life. It should be more of an acknowledgement of like, you're here.
Yes.
Like, go back to what we're talking about the neglect. Like, we have to get past the Holy Spirit being the neglected. Like, we have no focus on the Holy Spirit. We got to start focusing on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We got to start focusing on the power that the Holy Spirit gives and using that power.
That's true. Absolutely. You know, and it's power comes from the Holy Spirit. You know, we don't have power on our own.
Right.
You know, I mean, some, but in comparison to God,
right,
our power is nothing.
Right. And I think, you know, you see, I think there might be one or two times in the New Testament, it might be in Acts. Or no, in one of the Gospels, actually, they go out and they're trying to cast out demons.
Yeah.
And they're like, why couldn't we cast out demons?
That's, yep. I know exactly what passage you're talking about.
I forgot Jesus' response to that, but he's basically like, you don't have what it takes.
Yeah. Right. Power doesn't come from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who do you think this song is written to, or who do you think this song is written for? There's kind of two questions there.
Written to or written for? Good question, yeah. I don't know. I would say definitely believers. You know, it could be, I think the first thing my mind goes to is either a new believer.
Yeah.
And someone who is like, all right, you know, I just got saved.
Yeah.
You know, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in my life. You're welcome here. I'm going to follow you, trust you, use your power. I acknowledge your existence. I acknowledge you are part of the Godhead. You are God. I acknowledge the Father and Son as well. And I think it could also be, you know, maybe you're just, sometimes we do call on God for help. I think it could be that same thing for like the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Like I need to, I hate to use these words.
Yeah.
But I don't know any other way to put it. But like, I kind of need to feel you right now.
Yeah.
And it's trying to get past yourself.
Yeah. And I like this song. You know, I don't think we should play this song at the mountaintop. Right. I think this is a song for the valley. You know, because that's how the verses are. The verses are a callback. You know, it's like, you know, I remember what it was like in your presence. I've tasted and I've seen of your love.
Right.
You know, where I have no shame. You know, that's where I want to return to. You know, take me back there.
Right.
You know, so I feel like it works to people in the valley like that. I definitely think this song is for Christians. I wrote down born again followers of Jesus, people who have repented of their sin. You know, make sure our viewers know what we mean when we say believer.
Yeah, and I'm kind of glad we're getting into this. You know, who it's written to, who it's written for. And what I was talking about kind of brings us to the most prominent New Testament figure. I say New Testament figure, but besides Jesus Christ, the most prominent Christian figure ever.
Yeah.
Saul. You know, his, in chapter 9, we get his conversion.
Yeah.
And then I think it's the, either the end of chapter 7. Yeah, end of chapter 7, beginning of chapter 8, right? Like, Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him, Stephen, to death, right? And then great persecution comes from Saul, and then he goes to Damascus because he's about to, you know, put some more people in prison.
Yeah.
And then you get this experience on the Damascus Road.
Yeah, of powerful experience.
Yeah.
The conversion.
And it's him seeing the risen Jesus Christ. And so he knows at that moment, oh, okay, Mm-hmm. Something's going on here. And then that's when you start seeing the Holy Spirit come.
Yes.
And then he's told what we'll get into, you know, yeah. later what he's told to do. But, you know, he goes and prays Ananias and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, verse 19, and he took food and was strengthened. Now for several days, he was with the disciples who were at Damascus. Mm-hmm. And immediately, mm-hmm. without hesitation, he began to proclaim Jesus yeah. in the synagogues,
mm-hmm.
saying he is the Son of God.
Yeah, radical change.
So I think, you know, it's good. And so my kind of question, you know, tying this all in is, what makes Saul so special?
Mm.
And is it that, you know, he saw the risen Jesus Christ? Is it that he was filled with the Holy Spirit? Is it that he was a Jew who knew the law? Like, what makes him so special?
Mm. And I think my answer to that would be nothing.
Right.
You know, nothing makes him different from any other person. You know, and I think he himself would say that, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm not a super Christian. I'm just a normal Christian.
Right.
I'm just doing what we're supposed to do.
Chief of sinners is what he called himself.
Yeah.
And I guess where I'm tying that in at is, you know, that power is immediately granted to Saul.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, there's no way, right, when you immediately taste and see
yeah.
the power of God through the Holy Spirit, you taste and see his love and his goodness and his mm-hmm. grace and mercy, right? And then you still do the same old, same old.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I hate to say it, there is a compare and contrast to him and the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, they had that period where they're like, okay, I don't know what to do with myself, so let me go back to what I was originally doing. And they didn't have that power.
But they didn't have the Holy Spirit yet.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul does. And so mm-hmm. he's immediately like, hey, let me go share this.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what Peter does too.
Mm-hmm.
Like Peter immediately is going out there and he starts preaching.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think it's important, you know, since we're on that,
mm-hmm.
to not go back like pre-Luke, so in the Gospels,
mm-hmm.
you know, not to go back and read any of that with the thought that they have the Holy Spirit,
because they don't. That is true. You have to remember that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the only other part I put with this audience is that obviously this song is to God. We're singing this to God.
Yeah.
It's a prayer. First and foremost, this is fully a prayer.
Right.
So that's our direct audience.
Yeah. I think God should be the first and foremost of mm-hmm. anything.
Anyways.
Right. Like if your first priority isn't God,
mm-hmm.
then your priorities are just off.
Yeah, that's true.
And so whatever you do, it should be done in worship to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's prayer and if it's singing the song, if it's taking the song and, you know, singing it, let it be for God's glory.
Yeah.
And remember, you know, you can do that, you know, because of him.
That's true. Absolutely. So we're going to go ahead and take a little bit of a break here. So you guys listening at home, go ahead and, I guess, use the restroom or whatever you're doing. I don't know where you're listening to this from.
Do what you got to do.
Yeah, but we'll take a couple-minute break, and we'll see you guys in a minute.
We are now on Season 2 of the Upper Room Discourse. Go back and check out Season 1. Also, follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from. Now, go to Side B.
And we're back. I hope that was a good break for everybody.
Yeah, it was for us. We got to
catch up on text messages.
Yeah, blowing my phone up.
Yeah. Something new we wanted to do was a drink segment. I guess this is for those of you on YouTube.
Yeah, if you're watching on YouTube, we got good old Starry.
Which I like. I mean, it's not my go-to drink, but I like it.
Yeah. It's basically, what was it, Sierra Mist?
Yeah, it's like the new Sierra Mist. I feel like it tastes like a mix between what Sierra Mist used to be and Sprite. Like, it's kind of like in between those two.
Yeah.
Not as good as Sprite, but still good.
Honestly, Sierra Mist was so much better than Sprite was.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Like, Sprite just, like, it's good, but man, it can taste artificial.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sierra Mist was just kind of chill.
Well, the only Sprite I like is the one from McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
It's the only Sprite that I like. Yeah.
The classic.
Yeah. Well, anyways, that's our drink segment.
Drink segment.
We'll have one every week, probably. I don't know what we're going to drink next week. But
water.
Yeah. So let's talk about the lyrics. All right. So I don't have too much about the verses, and I feel like we really talked, you know, a lot about the verses.
Right.
You know, what I want to focus on is in that chorus.
Okay.
So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. So I feel like a lot of times when we hear that, we're thinking of like the worship room or like the sanctuary or chapel or whatever you call it. You know, I think if we looked at this more of as our body, you know, the temple that is our body, you know, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Flood this place and fill the atmosphere. You know, I'm not trying to like seance and draw the Holy Spirit into this room. You know, I'm asking, fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, it's very poetic. You know, it's not like, you know, it's not very like outright saying it, but I feel like that's really what the heart of it is. You know, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this body, in this mm-hmm. temple. Flood it, fill it. You know, what I want is your presence.
Yeah, and then I think, I mean, you got to skip a line.
Yeah.
But the line that kind of goes with that is to be overcome mm-hmm. by your presence.
Which, what a line that is. That's probably my least favorite line in the whole song.
Really?
Yeah.
I kind of like it.
I think if you like are saying this in the moment, it's wrong. If you're like, I want to be overcome in your presence right now.
Right.
You know, I feel like I don't, there's tension there. And I'm like, that's not, you're like, you're in your feelings right there. Like, that's not what we're looking for.
Right.
If you mean like at all times. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that's a fair thing. And I think that's scriptural, you know, let me be overcome by God's presence, you know, but not like it's in this moment emotion, but let it be my life to be overcome by his presence.
And what I think, you know, kind of going along with that, I think a lot of times what we do is we make Peter, James, John, Bartholomew, the other James, Paul, Silas, Barnabas, Mark, Luke. We make all these guys out to be like hyper spiritual.
Yeah.
And they're just filled with the Holy Spirit just like we are.
Yeah, they're just normal guys.
They're just doing what they were supposed to, though.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, a lot of times we get lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get distracted. And then because we get distracted, we neglect the Bible, you know? And then because we neglect that, we don't feel connected to God.
Yeah.
And then God is neglected. And, you know, so the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all neglected.
Yeah.
And then we're having to sit here and say this, you know, fill me, make me hyper spiritual.
Yeah.
And then we come into a service like you're talking about and we're like, oh man, everybody's sitting here praising. It feels good. It feels right. And you're saying this in the moment. And then you walk out the door and you feel just like you did an hour before you walked in there.
Yeah. And, you know, and what I wrote down is that, you know, being filled with the Spirit, that's not an emotion and that's not a feeling. Like, it's not like you get like this fuzzy feeling inside when you're filled by the Spirit. Like, I don't think it's connected to your feelings at all.
No.
Like, it's completely, totally separate from whatever you're feeling.
Right.
You know, it's not a feeling.
Now, I will say, like, I think you can feel, like, invigorated or something, like actually invigorated.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or, like, actually feel, like, content or actually feel, man, I had the word, but I can't think of it now. But you kind of get what I'm going with. And not in the emotion type way.
Yeah, it's different.
But it's just, like, a sensation, I guess.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's true. And that's why I hate that line, to be overcome. Right. But it's not the line that's the issue. It's when you, it's the way, like the context of the song is the issue. Yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty much it with the chorus. The bridge, I mean, I think that's a great prayer that everybody should have in general.
Yeah. It's kind of just what we've been talking about.
Yeah, you know,
be more aware of.
Yeah. Be more aware of your presence. Let me experience your goodness. Like, it's a good prayer. You should be praying that if you're not.
Yeah. And just kind of, you know, top it off, you know, your glory, God, is what our hearts long for.
Yeah.
That's what these guys in Acts were wanting. And that's what we should want as well.
Absolutely.
The story doesn't change just because the characters do.
That is true. You know, and what I think about is, you know, because we've been going through Micah. You know, I think of Micah. You know, he wasn't as a big old important man.
Right.
You know, how was it that we put it? He was a...
As a farm boy?
An insignificant man from an insignificant town, basically.
Yeah. I mean, basically was. I want to see if I can actually...
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, I mean, just talking about
God used him for an incredible purpose, you know, and he wasn't like anything special. He wasn't like this big, you know, crazy guy. You know, God just used him.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and that's with anybody you see in the Bible. And and we can be the same way. We can be used by God if we're willing to be used.
Yeah.
And if we're submitting to him. And that's what we're told to do, submit to the Holy Spirit. And, I mean, this is the actual verse from Micah chapter 3. On the other hand, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and courage. Like, you know, it's kind of that's such interesting language.
Yeah.
Because you don't start finding stuff like that until you get to the New Testament. Yeah. Until after the day of Pentecost. And so it's like, is Micah looking into the future? I'm not saying he is.
Yeah.
But you probably speculate. He was a prophet. Like, is he looking into the future and saying, yeah, these dudes are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
God is going to be in this place.
I know. And it's like, you know, back then there was only a couple of guys. Like,
right.
Nowadays, like, there's so many people that are filled with the Spirit, you know, more than have ever been.
Right.
You know.
And it should make you, or it makes me wonder at least, you know, there's all these people, right? Millions of people.
Yeah.
Like, let's just be honest. There's millions of Christians and believers all over the world. Okay. What's going on?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know it takes time and it takes understanding and it takes, you know, development. And sometimes I just wonder, like, you know, it's not through our power, but are we being submissive enough to the Holy Spirit?
I know.
And being utilized.
I think that's why in, like, you know, other countries you see that. You know, you see the gospel spreading, you know, like crazy. You know, tons and tons of people coming to faith. You know, I think it's just people aren't filled with the Spirit. Just that right there. Yeah, I mean, obviously you have to be filled with the Spirit to be able to do those things. You know, we have a lot of people that are cultural Christians. They say they're a Christian when they're not. You know, their life doesn't show it.
Yeah, and it kind of brings me to, you know, kind of two points I had. You know, the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
And this is 50 days after Christ has ascended. That's what Pentecost means. 50. It's basically 50. It's been 50 days since Christ ascended.
50 days from the end of the Passover.
No.
49 days from Easter. 7 weeks from Easter.
You sure?
Yes. It would have been maybe about 10 or 11 days after Christ ascended.
10 or 11?
After Christ ascended. But it would have been 7 weeks from the resurrection. So Resurrection Sunday is that, then 7 weeks later is the 50th day from the end of Passover, or from the start of Passover.
Right.
Which that would, yeah.
That's probably, yeah, you're right, you're right.
Yes.
I don't know why I was thinking about, I was thinking about the ascension. Anyways.
Honestly, most Christians don't celebrate Pentecost. It was a harvest holiday originally.
It was a harvest.
I wish we celebrated Pentecost. We don't.
You're right. It is from Passover.
Yeah.
Anyways, we got that straightened up. But This is the testimony, you know, back from Acts 1, and this is verse 8, right? It's the day of Pentecost. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth, right? They're not just going to sit still and stay in the same area.
Yeah.
Right? Like, right now they're in the upper room. And that's kind of, you know, the title, I guess, we had for this episode is, you know, in the upper room.
Yeah.
And so that's where they start out.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody starts somewhere. And then eventually they're told to do what? Move to the city. That's Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And then you move to the country, which is Judea. And then you move to the continent.
Yeah.
And so there has to be a spreading there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we also, and this is kind of, you know, the last thing I really have, but... You know, ties into what we're already talking about. You know, you skip down a couple more verses. Then they return to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. That is Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All with one mind, continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And then Peter has a sermon.
Yeah.
Right. So that's kind of, you know, verse 13 is kind of where we came up with the podcast name.
Yeah.
Or at least that's where I got, you know, part of my idea. That was the first thing I thought of. Mm-hmm. You know, man, they're in the upper room. We've got an upper room podcast.
It works out. You know, it works out perfectly.
And so, you know, what we wanted to do with this was in some way, mm-hmm. you know, whether that's sharing the gospel, whether it's talking doctrine, whether it's talking, you know, Christian music, you know, sharing belief, our beliefs, sharing what we know about the Bible and about song and all these different things through a podcast system.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, many people are going to, I mean, some people might just stumble upon it. You know, you never know.
It's true. Yeah. So I have a question for you.
Go for it.
All right. Those of you who have your Bibles at home, you hear me flipping. Acts chapter 8.
Oh, Acts chapter 8, yeah.
Verse 39.
Okay, let me get there right quick.
A little bit of context. We have Philip. By the way, not Philip the disciple. Not Philip the apostle that followed Jesus. Different Philip. He was actually one of the, I believe, one of the seven. So yes. We understand there were seven people appointed to help with the widows. This is that Philip. Yep. So he's out on the road, and God's like, well, he sends an angel, but he's like, go talk to this dude that's coming down the road. It's an Ethiopian eunuch, which I'm sure everybody knows the story.
Right.
But if we get to verse 39, this is after the baptism. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and he passed through and preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. What happened? What is going on here? What?
I know. What version is that?
This is the ESV.
ESV. This is what the NASB says. When they came up out of the water, so about the same, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. Yeah. And the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and he passed through it. He kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea.
So Azotus, it's nowhere near this road that Philip was on.
Yeah, no.
Talking to this Ethiopian eunuch. They tell you where. The road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza.
Right.
Completely different parts of the world.
Snatched up. I mean, you know what it reminds me of?
What?
It reminds me of three people. I was about to say Jeremiah, but that's totally wrong. Elijah.
Okay, yeah.
Elijah. And then the other one is... Enoch.
Mm-hmm. In Genesis.
And then Melchizedek.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of those three men. Like, some of them just, you know, came up out of nowhere, and some of them just left.
Yeah.
And were no longer
seen. Where do these people come from? You know?
Right. And where did they go?
Yeah, exactly. Well, if you read it literally, you know, the way I see it is like Philip's just like, he baptizes him, and as soon as he pulls the guy up, Philip's like in this whirlwind and like gets pulled away, just disappears. You know, I don't know. And then he like just appears.
Yeah.
You know, if you read it literally, that's literally what it says is what happened.
I mean,
I don't know if that's what happened.
I don't either, because it's not too far-fetched for something like that to happen.
Yeah.
If God wanted it to.
It's just weird.
I mean, because we have the examples of Enoch and Elijah just being taken literally straight up without dying into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we have examples of people literally falling into Sheol, their whole body and soul, everything together.
That's true. The earth opening up and swallowing them.
Exactly. Korah's rebellion. We talked about that a long time ago in season one. So I don't know. I'd have to do a little bit of research like on the wording and everything.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
That's one of those like, I was like, we can put it on a wall of like weirdest things in scripture.
Weirdest things in scripture.
That we have no idea what they mean.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it'd be funny if, you know, Philip's just walking, he's walking away or something, or he's just standing there, and the eunuch, he looks away for a second, you know, because, you know, he's probably going back over there to read the scroll or something that he had.
And then Philip's just gone.
And then Philip, he's just, teleports.
Or for all we know, like, the Spirit just... called him, and he's like, Philip, you should go here. So he's like, okay, and he just turns around back where he was going and walks back, and he goes to the other place. It could just simply be that.
And see, you know, what makes that so hard is the eunuch no longer saw him.
I know, but maybe he was just like so amazed that.
What if the grass was just really tall?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe Philip was really short.
Philip was really short.
Look, yeah, it's all speculation.
Yeah.
I have no idea. For me, that's always been an interesting verse when I read it, because I'm like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, and this is, and you kind of got to remember, this is getting into another age of miracles.
That is true. And there, so, there are miracles that happen. I almost want to be like, it's the same age of miracles, just continuing. Yeah.
And I actually have one more question, right? Because since you brought this up, you know, he's with the eunuch, Philip and the eunuch together. He read the scroll, and then the eunuch orders the chariot to stop. They both go down to some water that was nearby, and Philip baptizes the eunuch.
Yeah.
That's verse 38. So my question is it enough to be baptized with water?
I would say no.
And that's a pretty broad question.
It is a broad question. But I think, you know, Peter gives us the answer earlier. I forget which chapter. Is it in his first or second sermon? Where they're like, what must we do to be saved?
Oh, I think that's the first one. I think that's right at the end of the first sermon.
Yeah. I know it's in the second sermon, or it's in when he goes before the council. I know it's there as well.
I'm not sure.
But I think in the first one, in chapter 2, verse 37, when they're chapter like, what two, shall we do? You know, and Peter tells them, he's like, all right, repent.
Right.
Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, first and foremost, you have to repent.
Right.
You know, baptism doesn't save. You know, it's not required for salvation. Mm-hmm. You know, if anything, baptism is more to be that sign outwardly, like a physical sign of what's already occurred.
Right.
You know, at least that's the way I explain it.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of, is it in, I know we're talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. I could have sworn there was a verse that talks about being baptized with the Holy Spirit, but that might just be from a song.
No, that is true.
But I don't know what verse that is.
The scripture does talk about it like that. I'm not sure where. I think a really good image is we see Jesus.
Right, yeah.
When he's anointed. True. You know, he's anointed at his baptism by the Spirit.
And we talked about that as well. You know, he's anointed quite a few times.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
We'll have to get back to you on the verse. I'm sure we'll find it.
Right.
But I definitely, you know, would stand on it being scriptural. You know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, 1 John, which we're studying, or at least I'm teaching through in Sunday school.
Right.
You know, John tells us we have an anointing by the Holy One, you know, which essentially would be very similar to a baptism.
It wouldn't be full immersion. Yeah. But, I mean, I don't think, well, should baptism be full immersion?
Look, I know there's a lot of people that are wide spectrum on this, and understand we're coming from the context of Baptist, like a Baptist church, Baptist denomination.
Yeah.
The word baptizo, which is the word in the Greek, means full immersion.
Right.
That's what the word baptizo means. So, like, that's the word that they use in scripture when they say to be baptized. It is a word that means full immersion.
Yeah, and when they don't use that word, what do they describe? They describe somebody going down into the water, specifically talking about when Jesus was baptized and he came up out of the water.
So,
and that's why John was called the baptizer.
Exactly. Which that's what I'll stand on. And I understand it's coming from the context of a Baptist denomination, because I know there's other people on the other side of this.
Right.
But I think biblically
it should be
full immersion. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, we've gone through, you know, the Holy Spirit. We've gone through power of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about some of the great men and their testimonies, or somewhat of their testimonies, in Acts. One we're about to really start getting to, Saul.
Yes.
We've talked about the martyr Stephen a little bit, and how, you know, we don't make that the point we should be at. We don't make that the rule.
Yeah.
Because that's an exception. We've kind of talked about, you know, where you come from, how the Spirit fills you, what that looks like. And so I guess my final question is, and we kind of talked about this verse already.
Yeah.
What do we do? What, as believers now in the 21st century, what do we do?
We repent. Put our faith and trust in Jesus, and we repent of our sin.
And then do what? Like, after we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we've repented, filled with the Holy Spirit.
We go out. We obey.
We go.
You know, this is what I told my guys last night. You know, I was like, what we're to do is we're to trust and obey. Two words. you know, I guess for a little context, it was a sermon about marriage we were talking about, you know, and I was mentioning like, you know, because when it talks about the wife submitting to the husband, you know, don't just expect your wife to submit. Instead, be the man that she would want to submit to.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, how do you become that man? Trust and obey.
Right.
That's what we're called to do. That's what, read your Bible, trust what it says, obey it. Mm-hmm. And part of that is going out and spreading and sharing to the world what God has done, you know, yep. The gospel.
Yep. And we already read the verse, Acts 1:8. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you get the words from the angels right after.
Yeah.
And after he said these things, Jesus, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky, mm-hmm. so they're looking dumbfounded, looking like a bunch of fools.
Yeah.
While they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing, possibly the angels, mm-hmm. right, stood beside them. And they also said, men of Galilee, this is chapter 1, verse 11. Mm-hmm. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus has been taken up from you into heaven, mm-hmm. will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven.
Yeah.
So we don't look, while we do look forward to the coming of Christ again, mm-hmm. we can't sit here with our eyes to the sky. Mm-hmm. Ignoring everything around us.
That's true.
And we have the Holy Spirit. We have that power. And we're supposed to use it like you've already said, mm-hmm. like Jesus has said, that is our commandment to go.
Yeah.
And we make disciples while we're going. Mm-hmm. And we teach them so that they can go and do the same thing.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
And so that's kind of all I've got. Do you have anything else? That's the first 9 chapters of Acts and Holy Spirit.
Yeah. To kind of, I guess, capstone the song. So this is similar to our final question that we had before. But my question is, I guess it's loaded. Where does this fit within the liturgy? Or does it? So for, I guess, people at home, what does the word liturgy mean?
Liturgy would be kind of like, at least I'm getting this right, mm-hmm. Kind of in the church, you know, the song set, I guess.
Yeah, it's your order of service.
Yeah.
So a liturgy is an order of service. So how you construct your service, yeah. like your church service.
Like a Sunday morning service?
Yeah, or just in general.
No.
Okay.
No. Don't put it in.
I sit with you on that. I wrote down that this definitely fits as an invitation.
An invitation?
I think it fits well as an invitation. Because, and I don't, I guess when I say invitation, I don't mean like an invitation to come and be saved.
Right.
I mean like an altar invitation.
Like an invitation song.
Yeah. You know, because of the way the song is structured, but also yeah. because it's a prayer. You know, and I feel like it lends easily for those that if they need to come, they can come to the altar and they can pray this prayer. Right. You know, so I definitely like it there.
Yeah. I would agree with that. If I put it anywhere, it'd be right there because I'd either put it there or as like a first song.
Yeah. You know, I think it could be a great reflective song. So maybe not a song you sing, but listen to. Mm-hmm. I definitely think it could also be like a special music.
Yeah.
You know, I think those are great spots for it. I don't think we should use it where we tend to use it because we usually try to use it like the slow spiritual song.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't like that. And I don't think that's the purpose of the song.
I feel like what we have done, mm-hmm. at least in the past, is we take songs mm-hmm. and we do a build up with them.
Yes.
And we take the most.
It's the contemporary Christian song model.
Yeah. And we take the most feeling-based, mm-hmm. emotionally driven, mm-hmm. Experiential songs began, mm-hmm. and we say, okay, this one, you kind of get in there.
Yeah.
Then you got the second one. It's like, all right, you're starting to feel it, mm-hmm. right? And then the third one is like, yeah, I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm feeling it good.
Yeah, right? And that's where they're like, wow, let's put this song here.
Yeah.
And because you know, everyone's going to lift up their hands, right. and it's going to look amazing.
Right. And that's, it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah.
You know. I feel like this song would do great on its own, like you said, at the end, yeah. or even at the beginning.
I think it's a great start, even like a call to worship, yeah. almost. I think it works great. I was down that this contemporary Christian music kind of worship set, you know, you always start with like this upbeat, like rock song, and everyone's jumping and clapping hands. Right. And then like you dim the lights, and like you start getting like the synth going, and then you come out with Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, like you get this like super like musical song, yeah. and you're like, let's just get all in our emotions. I feel like that's where a lot of people put this song, and I just don't like it. And I don't think that's the right context for it.
I don't either. And I guess that's why I like the way that they did it. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Francesca Battistelli's version, yeah. but I feel like this one, it just doesn't have that vibe to it.
Yeah. It's like a different vibe almost. And I like it. Like, I think it's a chill. Good vibe. Yeah. You know, I love listening to the song just on your own, like on the radio. I think it's a great place for the song.
Right.
You know? So do you have any final remarks, thoughts about the song Acts?
I don't. Like I said, this first 9 chapters of Acts. We'll just keep going. About 4, we have 3 more parts.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be broken up into.
Yeah.
And songs that'll, you know, tie in.
Kind of tie in similar. I'm excited for some of the songs I've picked.
Yeah, they're good.
We got a hymn. We got a song from 2024. And we have one of my favorite songs as well. That we'll be doing. I guess that's your sneak peek into those upcoming 3 songs.
We can't tell you what they are yet.
Not quite. You have to listen to find out. Yeah. I think my only final remarks I have is when it comes to this song specifically, there's 2 things you need to have in mind. You need to come to it with humbleness and reverence.
Right.
And I think that's important, you know, because remember, this is a prayer, you know, go before God being humble, go before him reverent, you know, don't come to this song thinking you're going to get caught up in emotion.
Right.
You know, this is not a very, or at least it shouldn't be a very emotionally driven song.
Right.
You know, this should be a petition. It should be a prayer. And that's what I wrote. Don't come to this song looking for a spiritual high. Treat this song as if it were a petition or a supplication.
Yeah. And I think that ties in, you know, closing remarks on Acts 1-9 is they didn't see the Holy Spirit as emotional.
No.
They didn't see him as an experience. They had him and they used that power. And they had great sermons. Even Stephen had a sermon.
He did. It was an amazing sermon.
Dude is in the middle of being stoned to death, or he's about to be.
Yeah,
he's given a sermon.
Yeah,
I mean he is kind of giving a sermon. He's like, I see God. Jesus at the right hand of the Father.
He's not giving any kind of sermon. He's giving like brimstone. Like he's giving like sermon. Like
he was coming down hard.
Yeah,
and then you know to top it all off, you know the cherry on top. He's like. Mm-hmm. See Jesus right there at the right hand of the Father. That's where I'm going. See ya, boys. And
basically.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a, you know, lighthearted way to put such a deep and, you know, dark experience for somebody.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, the great thing is we'll see Stephen one day and John and all them too. So
yeah, that's true. We will. So I think that's basically it. I don't have anything else really. I'm excited as we continue into next week.
Yeah, we got a lot more coming. Yeah. A lot of good stuff, too.
That is true.
So stick with us.
Yeah, stick with us. I guess with that, we'll see you guys next week.
See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Upper Room Discourse. Join us next week for more discussions in the Upper Room.